Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Timothy chapter number 3, if you would, look at me in verse number 10. Paul is speaking to Timothy here, and he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Amen goes right there. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And these are two of my favorite verses in all of the Word of God. It's all good, but I love these two verses right here. Verse number 16, Paul says, "All scripture," amen goes right there, "all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." In other words, Paul is saying every facet of life, everywhere that you are, the Bible will do the trick. Verse number 17, he says, "That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." I'm glad I got a Bible, aren't you? Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The book of 2 Timothy is written by the Apostle Paul, that great man of God. Probably one of the greatest preachers ever to walk in shoe leather outside the Lord Jesus Christ. And his testimony is found in the book of Acts. When we come to Paul, we know him as Saul in Acts chapter number 7. And at that time, he is climbing the ranks of the Sanhedrin court. He is one of the most promising proteges of Judaism. Mid to late 30s, and in Acts chapter number 7, when we meet Paul, his name is Saul, and he is consenting to the death of Stephen, a preacher who stood up for the Word of God, who began to preach the Word of God. And because he was preaching the Word of God, he was set up and falsely accused. And if you live in this world very long, you're going to be set up and falsely accused because the world don't like us. The world don't like our preaching. The world don't like our God. And so in Acts chapter number 7, Paul, who was Saul at that time, is consenting to the death of Stephen. He's consenting to it. He's in agreement with it. He's promoting it. And we find the clothes of Stephen are cast at the feet of a man by the name of Saul, and it is as if almost God underlines that name and says, "You might want to remember this one." Acts chapter number 8 comes around, and Paul is still wreaking havoc in the church. Acts chapter number 9 comes around, and Paul is headed down to Damascus with papers in his hand, with a fire in his heart, with a strut in his step, ready to decimate these people called Christians. He was sick of what they was doing. He didn't like them. But how many of y'all know that Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it"? And at that moment, God shines down a light from heaven, changes Paul's life, changes the way that he thinks, changes the way that he acts, changes the way that he moves. And now Paul is going from being a murderer of Christians to being a minister of Christians. And this man, Paul, if we could talk to him, he would let you know real quick that one interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ will change your life. All it takes is just one time meeting this Savior of mine, and it'll make the difference in your life. But we find Paul would give every single ounce of his being for the next 30 years of his life to this gospel ministry. We find him preaching in the streets of Jerusalem. We find him preaching in the palaces of Rome. We find him preaching to the Philippian jailer while he's in jail. We find he would preach to the poor. He would preach to the rich. He would preach to anybody and everybody who would listen, and even those who didn't want to hear. Paul would preach to all of them. Paul wanted to make sure that he gave everything that he had to this gospel that changed his life. And we find in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, Paul is nearing the end of his life. He's nearing the end of the journey, almost as a great commanding officer as he steps off the battlefield for one last time. He begins to write to Timothy. We know that 2 Timothy is the last epistle that Paul would write, so what would Paul say as he's in this dark, damp prison cell in Rome, sentenced by Emperor Nero to have his head chopped off. And he knows that that time of his departure is at hand. He knows that it's not going to be long before he leaves this world to go to that world that he's been preaching about all of his life. So what would Paul say? So he constrains himself to write one last letter. Now, granted, at this time, Paul has traveled over 10,000 miles for the gospel. Paul has started 14 churches. Paul has Paul has visited 8 churches or 8 different countries. He's impacted innumerable amounts of people. He has visited cities all over the Middle East, cities like Antioch of Syria, Seleucia, Cyprus, Salome, Paphos, Perga, Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Galatia, Berea, Corinth, Ephesus, Philippi, Caesarea, Jerusalem, and Rome. And I apologize to those taking notes. But Paul is not just he's not a new preacher. He's not somebody who's just halfway stepped into this thing. Paul has given everything that he has to the gospel. So what would Paul say? If he had one last message, if he had one last sermon, if he had one thing that he could encourage young Timothy as his adopted son in the Lord Jesus Christ, what would Paul say? Paul said, listen, Timothy, I want you to know, first off, if you look at the beginning of chapter number 3, he says there's going to come dark times. Timothy, if you think it's bad now, it's only going to get worse. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, there's going to be dark times, there's going to be hardships, there's going to be discouragement. And in the final 2 chapters, Paul hones in on a singular topic. He hones in on one overwhelming theme. He finds a direct line of curriculum, a main course, and it's almost a prerequisite of everything that needs to happen in Timothy's life. He's got to have this one thing right. Paul's saying, listen, if you're going to do anything, this overwhelming, unmistakable, unerring principle, you must have right. And if we're going to live as Christians, we're going to have the same thing nailed down in our hearts. Paul said, there's one thing. I want you to look at it. Look at me in verse 14. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Well, what has Timothy learned? Look at me in verse 15. He says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Paul saying this, Timothy, I can't be with you right now. It's been some 4 to 8 years since Paul has wrote Timothy a letter. And so his last letter, he's speaking about different things. And when he comes to 2 Timothy, he said, listen, I want you to understand. I've taught you a lot of things. We've fellowshipped a lot. We've dealt with one another a lot. We've been around one another a lot. But Timothy, if you don't remember anything else I say, don't forget this. Don't forget the book. Don't leave out the book. Don't walk away from the book. If you never have another convert, don't walk away from the book. If you never take another journey, don't miss out on the book. If they don't listen, if they stone you, if they persecute you, if they walk away, if you lose friendship, if you lose fellowship, if you lose friends, don't leave the book. Don't forget the book. Matthew 24 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You want to know what's wrong with the average Christian in the world and why they're struggling so much? They're operating outside of the book. You want to know why the average church is so dead and dry in 2023? Because they've learned to go to church without the Bible. They've learned the methods. They've learned the music. They've learned the mechanics. But they've left out the message. That Bible's important. You want to know what's wrong with America? You want to know why America's in the shape that she's in? Because she has gotten away from the very book that she was established on. You say, preacher, she wasn't established on the Bible. Have you read the Constitution? There's quotes of Scripture all throughout the founding fathers and the documents that they wrote to the nation as they was establishing it. It was based on the Bible. And it wasn't just any Bible. It was that old-fashioned. 1611, King James Bible, the God's Word for the English-speaking people, the authorized, inerrant, infallible, inspiring Word of God. It's perfect, it's piercing, it's purging, it's precious, it's powerful, it's preeminent, it's the Word of God. It's my strength when I'm strengthless. It's my help when I'm helpless. It's my anchor when my soul is tossed to and fro. It's my light when I've lost my way. It's my shield when I'm under attack. It's the bread when I'm hungry, the water when I'm thirsty, the peace when I'm troubled, and the fire when I'm cold. It's the Word of God. See, the Bible is more than just words on a page. It's more than just a decorative piece for my office. But John 1 tells us this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible is not just another book. It's God on paper. It's the Word of God. And when I was praying for this meeting, I was thinking, Lord, what am I going to preach? Because I'll be honest, I feel like a Volkswagen Beetle at a Ferrari convention. If you look at the four people that are on the poster, I don't make sense on that poster. Y'all can be honest. Lord, what am I going to preach? Some of my heroes are in the building. What am I going to preach? God said, listen, just preach the book. Just give them the Bible. Just give them the Word of God. Just give them my word and let me handle it. You don't worry about your stuff. Just give them the Bible. And so you know what? Y'all give me about 10, 15 more minutes, and we're just going to preach about the Bible, if that's all right. I just want to give you four things about the Bible. Look at me in verse number 11. We see the persecuted bearing of the book. When you pick up this Bible, it's not always roses. It's not always lilies. But when you take a stand for the Word of God, I promise you, persecution will come. He said, what do you mean? Look at me in verse number 10. It says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul begins to charge Timothy that this book right here isn't always liked. The Bible that you hold in your hand, I know it's a shocker to some people. The Bible that you hold in your hand sometimes rouses up the Democrats. Sometimes it makes these worldly people mad. Sometimes when you begin to preach that book, church members aren't going to like you because you begin to step on their toes, because this Bible still states that sin is sin and wrong is wrong and right is right and righteous living is still right. Holy living is still right. And Paul says, thou hast fully known. He is allowing Timothy to recollect. He's allowing Timothy to go back in his mind at all the times that he has spent with Paul. He's allowing Timothy to go back and think about the fellowship that he's had with Paul. He got to witness firsthand the personal life of the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine? Timothy got to have a little internship with the Apostle Paul. I'm not going to lie. If there was one person that I could, you know, kind of shadow for just a little bit, I would love to shadow the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine the things that Timothy's seen? And Timothy somehow is stepping into this life as a Christian without his mentor. And Paul said, I want you to think back on the things that you've learned from me. Number one, you see the routine of the Christian living. The routine of Christian living. Paul said, think back about me. How Paul believed. We've seen his doctrine, what he believed. His manner of life, how he lived. His purpose, why he lived. His faith, what he trusted in. He said, the routine of how I live my life, Timothy, look at that and base your role off that. How Paul treated people, long suffering is how he treated people. Charity was how he loved people. Patience was how he waited on people and on the Lord. Because how many of y'all know if you go to a Baptist church, you're going to have to wait on people? Amen goes right there. You're going to have to wait on people. The routine of the Christian life, Paul's saying, listen, Timothy, go back in your mind, think about it. And I wonder, and this kind of convicted me. I wonder, youth leader, mom, dad, I wonder if you could look at your child or a person in your youth group and say how to live the Christian life. If you'll just watch me as I follow him, that's all you need to do. Paul said, thou hast fully known because you've seen me. We see the routine of the Christian life. We see the relief of Christian living. Notice this. Everything in verse 10 referred to how Paul treated people. But verse 11, you see how people treated Paul. Because the first two things in verse 11, he says persecutions and afflictions. Anybody in their right mind is not going to choose willingly to be persecuted. Choose willingly to be afflicted. So obviously it was people doing things to Paul. So he said, the persecution will come. How they treated me, you'll see. Satan doesn't like this. Satan doesn't want you living a Christian life. Satan wants you to belly up, give up, fall away. Satan don't want you in the fight. But Timothy, if you're going to get into the fight, know assured, rest assured that there will come persecution. But the relief of the Christian life. Notice this. At the end of verse 11, he says, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Every persecution, every trouble, every trial, every time somebody began to talk bad about you, every time somebody began to throw rocks at you, every time somebody walked away, every time you was afflicted, every time you messed up, God delivered him. I'm glad the relief of the Christian life is that we're not in this by ourselves. I thank God that I'm not living this thing by myself. Because if it was up to me and Jonathan's standards, we would have given up a long time ago. But I'm glad there's something within me. As Jeremiah said, there's a fire welling up in my bones. That even if I wanted to stay, I couldn't sit down. The relief of the Christian life is that God will help you. God will be there. God will deliver you. Just go on and live right. Go on and do right. Go on and be holy. Stand strong. Stand firm. And even if you stand alone, understand that Bible is with you. Psalm 118 says this, Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? So we see the routine, we see the relief, but we see the reality of the Christian life. Paul said, but I still want you to understand, Timothy. Verse number 12, he says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to get persecuted. And if you're not being persecuted, you might not be doing something right. See, either that's the truth or the Bible's a lie. He says, yea, all that live godly, all that live this kind of life, all that live a Christian life shall suffer persecution. See, why would Satan persecute you if you're going the same direction? So what's the point? If living a Christian life is going to automatically condemn you to be persecuted and automatically put affliction on you, what in the world are we doing here trying to live the Christian life? Let me show you. We see the persecuted bearing of the book, but we see the purposeful bringing of the book. Say the purposeful bringing of the book, what do you mean? Verses 13 through 15, I ain't got time to preach it all. Verses 13 through 15, Paul begins to talk to Timothy saying, it's going to get worse, but I want you to remember. I want you to go back in your mind the things that you've been taught, not only by me, but by your mother and by your grandmother. I want you to go back and think about the things that you're going to be doing. Think about the things that you're going to be living right. I don't know about y'all, but I'm the kind of person, I don't do anything halfway. It drives me insane to watch somebody do something halfway. If I'm going to do something, it may be a flop, it may be a failure, but I'm going to do it with everything that I got. Come on now. I don't believe in halfway, average, or mediocre. I don't believe in it. It's bad words in my house. If you say something is okay, it's wrong in my house. Time out. If I get done preaching today and I go sit down and I say, hey, how was that? And Lydia says, it was okay. I'm going to feel like a failure for the rest of the day. Or if Lydia just says, it's good, that's not good enough. I want great. I want outstanding. I want phenomenal. I want amazing. That's what I want. I want 100% of what I can get. It's a purpose. If I'm going to go hunt and I want to shoot something, if I'm going to go fishing, I want to catch something, if I'm going to play basketball, I want to win. If I'm eating, I want to get full. Somebody say amen. The purposeful bringing of the book, the Christian life is a life with purpose. It's a life with drive. And we're not just halfway lollygagging through the lilies, tiptoeing through the petunias, or patty caking through the petunias. We're going at this thing full force. Paul said, have a purpose. Watch this. The purpose is, number one, the power of the adversary. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. The world is getting dark. The power of the adversity is getting dark. The world is getting dangerous. It's getting sinful. The debauchery is running wild. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. The adversary is getting worse. It's getting worse. We need Christians with a purpose in their life. But the power of the adversity, but also notice this, the path of assurance. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse 14. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. In other words, Timothy, what got you to this place, I want you to think about it. And I begin to look at this passage of Scripture. Paul says, Timothy, you didn't get here by yourself. You didn't get here all alone. Somebody had to teach you. Somebody had to learn you. Somebody had to bring the book to you. And I began to study about this, and I about did a backflip in my office because I began to study and began to think about all the people that brought the book to me. And I began to think, and he said, the things that you have learned, you've been brought to this place, you've been given to this place. I can look back down the road, Timothy, and see men and women and boys and girls that have helped you reach this place. You didn't get here all alone. The path of assurance came because somebody brought the book to you. And I began to think in my mind, I have a Sunday school teacher, Miss Jenny, who began to teach me about the Bible when I was 5 years old. And I began to think about her and how she brought me the book. I began to think about an old leather-lung preacher who preached to me for 20-some years of my life and brought the Bible to me, labored over the Word of God for me, brought the Bible to me. He brought me the book. I began to think about a mama who should have beat me more than what she did. But in my house growing up, there was no possibility of going to church. I told y'all last night I had a drug problem. They drug me to church every time they had a chance. Because she knew the book was important. I began to think about my daddy. He didn't have a high education. If you talk to my dad, he's not going to use big words. But he loved the Word of God. And I would not be standing here today if it wasn't for a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a mama, a daddy, Christians in my life that brought the Bible to me. If it wasn't for a man of God who got up, grabbed that Bible, whether affliction comes, whether persecution comes, whether it gets dark, whether it gets dangerous, I'm bringing the book. Thank God for preachers all across this country that have brought the Bible to us. Say, preacher, that doesn't really do nothing for me. You might want to get saved. Because that's the path that brought you to where you are. Men and women, boys and girls that labored in the Word of God, that prayed over the Word of God and brought it to you. The things which thou hast learned, we see. What's the point of living this Christian life? The purpose of this Christian life is the power of the adversity is getting worse. The path of assurance that people brought you the Bible. But notice this, there's a pardon that's available. Look at verse number 15 with me. He says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." But look at this, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You want to know why we got to bring the book? Preachers, you want to know why we got to give them the Bible when we stand up? Because somebody needs to get saved. Because somebody's on the road to hell and they need to know that there's a Savior who loves them, that there's a God who died for them, that there's a God up in heaven who looks up on high and looks down low and says, I can save them if somebody will take them the book. I got to hurry. Paul said, bring the book to the schoolhouse, to the workplace, to the library, to the drunkard, to the dope head, to the whoremonger, to the fornicator. Bring the book. Give them the Bible. Don't try to change their life. Let the Bible change their life. We see the persecuted bringing of the book, the persecuted bearing of the book, the purposeful bringing of the book, but the passionate believing of the book. I ain't got time to preach all this. I'm over my time limit already. 2 Timothy, look at me in verse number 16. He says, all scripture, not just the parts you like, all scripture, not just the parts that are easy, all scripture, not just the Old Testament, all scripture, not just the New Testament, all scripture, not just the writings that Paul wrote, all scripture, not just the ones that Moses wrote, all scripture, not just the Psalms, not just the Proverbs, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You say, preacher, where do I start when I go to reading the Bible? Anywhere that you want to, it's all good. You can go to Genesis and find out he's the creator of the world, or you can go to Revelation and find out that we win this thing at the end of everything. But wherever you go, sit down on the maps, wherever you want to go, just get in the Bible. 1,600 years, 40 different men, at least 3 different speaking people, God gave you a Bible. God gave you an English Bible. People from all walks of life, carpenters and fishermen, kings and peasants, to pen down this Word of God that you hold in your hand. Men have bled and died at the stake, been set aflame, given their life to make sure that you have a Bible. There's a reason why we carry a 1611 King James authorized, inspired, infallible Word of God, because it's the Bible that God gave to the English-speaking people. We're passionate about this thing. It's not, we can fight about a couple of different things, but there's one thing, rest assured, we will fight over. That's this Bible. I don't get passionate about, I get passionate about a lot of things, but we're not going to fight over everything. Some hills just aren't worth dying on. But when it comes to this Bible, we're going to fight over it. There's a passionate believing. Paul said all Scripture, everything in this book, from the first verse to the last amen, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What verse will help you? All Scripture. What chapters are the best? All Scripture. What books are the best for kids? All Scripture. God didn't give you a partial book. He didn't give you a halfway book. There's not books missing. It is the entire, infallible Word of God. Passionate bringing of the book. I ain't got time to preach all this. I'll just give it to you. The coaching of the Bible. It says the doctrine. It'll teach you. The chasing of the Bible. That word reproof means to be convicted. It gives the idea of being put to the test. That Bible will do it. The correcting. In that verse it says correction means to restore to an upright or correct position. When you get out of line, when you go astray, that Bible sets you back upright. When you feel like you've been knocked flat, that Bible will correct you. The commanding of the Bible, it gives instruction in righteousness. You know what that means? Instruction is aiming to increase virtue. In other words, if you take that Bible and you make much of that Bible will make much of you. There's a persecuted bearing of the book, a purposeful bringing of the book, and I've got to be done. The passionate believing of the book. But last but not least, the powerful binding of the book. Verse number 17, he says this. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. You know what that word, you know what thoroughly furnished means? I begin to study this. Thoroughly furnished means, it's the Greek word exartizo, which means to completely outfit or to fully equip. And you know what that means? In the day that Paul was living in, when they was saying thoroughly furnishing something, they were speaking of ships. Because in the day that Paul lived in and in the day that we live in, there are little ships that have most of the things that they need, but they can't go very far. They can't weather the storm. You're not going to take a little pontoon boat deep sea fishing. It don't have the motor for it. It don't have the stern for it. It don't have the capacity for it. It just won't work. But when Paul said that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished is referring to a boat that has been given all the equipment necessary to take a long journey. A boat that has been given all the equipment that it needs to be able to make it through the storms of life. And I notice this, it's the binding of the book. You want to know why it's the binding of the book? Because the things that it refers to when it says thoroughly furnished is stuff like the rudder, the sail, things that had to not just be put on the boat, but attached to the boat. In order for you to put up a sail, you can't just put a blanket off the back of the boat. You got to have a mast that you put in the boat that holds it. So when Paul said, Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Young people, you want to know how you're going to make it through life? Not just by holding this Bible, but letting this Bible hold you. You want to know how you're going to make it through life? By thoroughly furnishing yourself with the Scripture. Letting this Bible not just be around you, but attached to you. You want to know why a bunch of young people get 18, graduate high school, and never darken the doors of church again? Because they had it on the boat, but it didn't become part of the boat. They knew what it was like to go to church, carry the Bible, you know, say all the right lingo and have the cliches and do all the right things, but the Bible was never a part of them. You want to know why so many Christians can just give up on church? The Bible's never a part of them. My Bible tells me that the Word of God, if you take that Scripture and you believe that Bible and you take it to heart and you put it to heart, it'll perfect, thoroughly furnish you. That no matter what storm comes, no matter what trial comes, no matter what burden comes, no matter what you face, no matter what heartache darkens your door, no matter what you face in your life, you can make it. So I'll close with this, the title of my message. This drives people that are taking notes insane. Just give me the book. You can have all the other things. You can have all the other fancy lingo and everything else. Just give me the book. Because if I'm going to make it, you know what's going to help me make it? Not my preacher being a good preacher, Not my daddy loving God, not my mama who prays for me, not my wife who's a good Christian. That's not going to help me make it through life. Taking the book. Taking the book.